Say good evening to you, and we welcome you to the house of God tonight as we come to his presence to worship him. And as we do so, we're going to sing a hymn called I Heard an Old, Old Story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life in Calvary to save a wretch like me. We keep our seats as we sing. Tonight is a special meeting because it is a valedictory service for the students who are going into Bible college. They start on Tuesday. We have one who has come out of great tribulation. They used to say he's completed his 4 years successfully and he'll be graduating tomorrow night. And we're going to ask our brother Alejandro Bernabeu to lead in prayer and commit this service to the Lord. Thank you. You can come wherever you want to. Come on ahead, that's fine.
Let's come to our God in prayer. Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you because we have the privilege tonight to come to thy presence only in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, only through that new and living way that he has opened by the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary. That's the old, old story. That's the story that we love to hear. And I pray, O Lord, that even tonight we will hear of that story. We thank you, Father, because that story is a story that has changed our whole lives. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you, Father, for all that means for us. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, and he has given us new life. We were lost, and he has found us. We didn't have anything in ourselves, but he chose us when we were nothing. And we thank you, Father, because we are now accepted and the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Father, for everything we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that today or tonight he will be exalted in everything that's done in this meeting. We thank you, Father, for the Whitfield College of the Bible. We thank you for a college that is sound in doctrine. We thank you for the example that we can find in the teachers there. Thank you, Father, for every class that they have there. And we thank you, Lord, for these three men, these three friends that are going now back to college, or they're starting college too. We thank you for David and Jonathan and Greg. And we pray, Father, for their lives. Thank you for saving them, and thank you for calling them. And we ask, Father, that you will now help them as they start this new year of college and of classes. Father, that, of course, that they will grow in the knowledge of Christ. They will grow in knowledge of doctrine, but most of all, that their love for Christ will increase and increase. O Lord, teach them in the school of Christ. And I pray, Father, that you will make them mighty men of God. Thank you, Father, because you are still calling people to thy ministry. And we pray, O Lord, that you will call even more men and even women to be missionaries and to speak to others. And O Lord, that Christ will be exalted in all that we do. Father, thank you for this meeting. We acknowledge that we need thee. We need the presence of thy Holy Ghost here among us. And we ask, O Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, bring conviction of sin. Save them from their sins. And, O Lord, they will not leave this meeting place tonight without knowing Christ as their Savior, without being sure that if they died tonight, they would be in heaven with thee. Father, we pray and we remember those that are going through difficult times, perhaps fears, perhaps they're mourning the passing of a loved one. Oh Lord, be with them. Be their refuge and their strength in time of distress. And Father, we pray for Mr. Park as he brings the message tonight. Oh Lord, anoint him with the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, who is sufficient for these things? But we know that our sufficiency is of Christ. Our sufficiency is of God. And we pray, oh Lord, that you will anoint him and that the Holy Spirit will speak through him tonight. Thank you, Father, for all these things. We pray, O Lord, that the Lamb who is worthy of all praise, that he will receive the praise tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Alex. It began when he was coming over for summer jobs to Ballymoney, and a lot has happened since then. Moved here 6 years ago to live. He found himself a wife. And that's a good thing, the Bible says. And he now has a little family round about him. We're praying for you, brother, as the Lord directs your way in these days to the land of Spain. We have short reports, maybe prayer requests, to set before you tonight. And these men are going to do it themselves. Jonathan Story is going into third year at the college. David McCauley in the second year. And Greg Gibson in the first year. So we will have them in that order. There's three microphones that they can use just to keep their social distancing. So we'll ask, first of all, Jonathan, and then David, followed by Greg.
Well, it's good to be with you this evening, and I want to thank the congregation for their continued support throughout this year. do truly value the prayers and the financial support that you do give me throughout my time in college. And it has been a strange year, as it's been a strange year for everyone, I'm sure. It's came with its difficulties and its trials, but God has always been faithful, and God has been good throughout the whole time, and he has never let us down once at all. And this year I passed my final Greek exam, so with regards to college in Greek, that's me finished with it. I'll keep studying it yet, but this year we move on to Hebrew. Some men have said that Hebrew is the language of heaven because there's nothing like it here on earth, so we'll see how we get on with it. But I would appreciate your prayers while we study this language, and coming down to the 2 days a week now as well, I would appreciate your prayers for that also. Just three main prayer requests I would like to leave with you. First off is balance. As I said, this year we'll be dropping down to 2 days in the week, and God willing, I'll be picking up some work throughout the week also. So just pray that God would give me that good balance, strike a good balance between studies and between my work as well. And also pray for spiritual maturity. If there's one thing that I've learned in these past 2 years, it is that I still have a lot left to learn. So do pray that God would still direct and guide, and that I might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, I would like you to pray for God's guidance as to the future. Time has really gone in quickly in college, and thoughts then naturally will go toward where the Lord would have me to be, and where the future and what God would have for my future. And I would just ask you to pray for both the will of God to be revealed in my life, and that my heart would be willing to do whatever it is that God would have for me to do. And I want to thank you all again for your continued support and for your prayers, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Well, good evening. You remember during lockdown that I gave a pretty detailed report on Youth Sunday. So I won't go into all the details about how it's been the past year. Again, just to say that the exams are all done, the assignments are done, and the results are in, and we're getting into second year. So we thank the Lord for the answered prayer there and the help that he gave. Just by way of prayer request, Johnny's really covered a lot of what I was going to say. But if you remember last year as well, I asked for prayer for family life, for working life, and for college life itself. And the prayer was that I would find a balance in all those things. Obviously, the Lord has given me all those things, but just to help me find a balance in them. And so the prayer this year, again, would be that. But on top of that, again, as Johnny has said, for the Lord to just give direction this year. As you know, going into college, with our background, with Rachel training in New Tribes, and with myself as well, our hearts are really in missions, and I would still say that it is, it hasn't changed, but just pray that God would open doors or close doors this year, that he would just give us some direction that we can even plan towards. Obviously, the future is in his hands, and we would do what we would want to do, what is his will for our lives. So just pray to that end, that we would be open to that will, whatever it might be. You might ask, well, how will missions look like in 3 years with everything going on today? We don't know that either. So just ask that the Lord would direct us. And then finally, of course, just to say a huge thank you. Thank the Lord for you as well, for those who have continually prayed for us. We are humbled ourselves by the people who say that they're praying for us. And then we know that there's ones who maybe don't even say they are, but they are praying. And we value that. We don't count it as nothing. You are a vital link in the chain, and so we thank the Lord for you. Paul says to the Corinthians that we are laborers together, and we're humbled that we have you as a church, and as a church body and a family, really, to us, to pray and support us. So as well as prayer, we thank you for your financial, for everything that you've been to us, an encouragement, those texts, everything like that. We thank the Lord for you, and trust that the Lord will bless you as well in the coming year.
I just want to begin here by thanking the congregation for your prayers. You've always been so welcoming here, even the past 5 years that I've been coming here off and on, and just want to thank you even for the welcome you've given us since we've moved back to Northern Ireland. We thank you as a congregation that you've been praying for us, praying for this move home. We've just arrived home there about 3:30 in the morning on Friday morning, so we still have a lot to do, a lot to get unpacked. So we do appreciate your prayers for that and thank you for them. Of course, we're back in Northern Ireland now, and that leaves a void in the church in Liverpool. So we'd ask that you would pray even for that church in Liverpool. They've lost a family. It is a small congregation. It's a difficult work in Liverpool. It's England and Scotland, Wales. It's a, you could say it's spiritually dead. You know, in Northern Ireland, is, at least there's some of the gospel here still, but the gospel, people are very hard against the gospel in England. And so we'd ask you to pray for them, pray for a man, even to take up the work there in Liverpool. Pray for a man that's been called by God to lead the charge even in that great city of Liverpool. I'd also ask that you pray for us as a family as we even settle in here into Hebron and for the foreseeable future as we get used to our surroundings. Pray for Daniel, for Rebecca too, even as I begin my studies next week. And I guess I've no really idea how busy I'm going to be. I know I'm going to be busy, but I'm sure I'm going to be a lot busier than even I can imagine. So I would ask that you'd pray for them, just that you would even keep them upon your heart and that the Lord would keep them and sustain them even in this transition. I ask you to pray for me regarding my studies as well. As I said, I'm not really sure what that will bring, but I'm looking forward to getting started and looking forward to getting into the Word of God and really just to study His Word. I pray that the Lord will give help even adjusting to the workload and even with the young family as well, that I'll be able to balance those things with study and with even spending time with Daniel and with Rebecca too. And even for the preaching engagements and testimonies that maybe I'll be given around the church in the next 4 years, I would appreciate your prayers for that. Just one final prayer request would be for my family. You know my family. I'm the only one in my family who is saved. They have a Roman Catholic background, so I would ask that you would pray for them, keep them upon your heart. They have many questions regarding me going into the ministry, going into Bible college, and just pray, you know, that the Lord will even use that as an opportunity, as a door for them, that, you know, it'll be an opportunity even to speak to them, to invite them to church, to share the gospel with them, and just to be able to give help and to give wisdom in answering all their questions. And pray for us as a family that we would be able to be a testimony to them of the saving and the keeping work of the Lord Jesus. And just even ultimately, you know, that they would be saved. That is what we want, that is what we desire as a family, that we'd have household salvation for my family and for all families here, even who have loved ones outside of Christ. And again, just thank you for your support, for your love, and just even for being so welcome and here in Hebron. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan, David, and Greg. We want the congregation here to take these young men upon their hearts and to pray earnestly for them. If you can pray for them every day, I know they would appreciate that. But as often as you can, as often as you remember, take them to the throne of grace in prayer. Now, we want to bid you welcome to the house of God tonight on a beautiful Lord's Day evening. And we welcome those who are tuning in on Sermon Audio and Facebook. There is an online youth meeting tonight. We want to encourage our young people to tune in. It's excuses when we're called to serve. And the Reverend David Brown is the speaker, and Victoria Salt will be singing. That's at 9:15, and it's in Newton Abbey Free Church. Whitfield College has their special graduation service tomorrow night, and Alejandro will be graduating. The other students will be there as they start back, and it is by invitation because of the numbers that are involved, but the service is live on Sermon Audio. And we want you to listen in and see what's happening tomorrow night. Tuesday, these men, together with the other students, begin their course at the college. And we're asking you to pray for them and for the lecturing staff. Thursday night, midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, 8 o'clock. We're doing a series, Hindrances to Prayer. Friday night is the installation service of the Reverend Higginson, minister who will be installed as the minister of Lisburn. But the meeting is in the martyrs. Need to remember that so that they can get as many as possible in with the social distancing, 8 o'clock on Friday night. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, worship service 12 noon, gospel meeting at 7. We thank the congregation for their continued support for the work of God here financially. The offering is not lifted from pew to pew, but there are collection plates at the exit. Now, the loose offering today will go to support our students. I want you to remember that as you leave. Give generously to encourage these young men who have given their lives to full-time service. Thursday, the 24th of September, our brother Alejandro will be back to speak to us about Spain and the call of God in his life, the work there in Cortigas Nuevas, and he will have a DVD to show. The following Lord's Day evening, the 27th of September, is ascending forth service for Alejandro and Vanessa. So they're leaving early. Leaving early. They want to get away. I understand that. I was texting him today, and it's probably mixed feelings that he has. Leaving family here, friends, the church, people that he's got to know and love in the Lord. And yet, on the other side, there's excitement in his heart as he obeys the Lord and fulfills the call of God in his life and takes up the work of the pastorate in Cortigas Nuevas. Friday the 2nd of October, youth fellowship recommences. The 4th of October, the Bible class and the Sunday school. And on the 3rd of November, a month later, the youth challenge. We were remembering a man this morning who was critically ill and he has passed away. And we want to extend our sincere sympathy to Phil and Tracy Moffat and the family circle on the passing of Tracy's stepdad, Stan. Phil and Sarah have made their way home today from Liverpool, and Tracy's staying for a little time to be with her mother. So we want you to pray for this family, uphold them at the throne of grace. And I have another prayer request, a special request to make for a lady, Taryn McConnell. Taryn is Anne Story's daughter-in-law. She lives in England, and she has been in hospital. I think she got out today, but she's been in hospital getting tests. She's been in a lot of pain. And there is a fear that cancer that she battled with some time ago might be back again. So these are days when she's worried. And if you can take this woman upon your heart and pray for her, I know that the family would appreciate that. We're going to sing together 263. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Thank you.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1 on this special valedictory service. There's some visitors with us tonight, and as always, you're very welcome, and we trust that you'll feel at home with us here as we worship the Lord at this gospel meeting. I'm going to read from verse 12 through to verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Ending the reading at verse 17. We'll bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for your grace, the grace that has triumphed and so many lives here tonight, that saving grace that put us into Christ, that keeping grace that has held us steadfast through the years of our Christian experience, that sufficient grace that has kept us in the midst of the hard times of life. It is that amazing grace of which Newton wrote about that will see us brought safely home one day to glory. And we pray that great grace will be upon us tonight in this service, that we'll know the Lord's help, wisdom, and power, that you will speak to every heart as we seek to say something tonight appropriate to the young men going into college. Lord, we pray that there will be a word for them, but let that message permeate out into the congregation, into every heart, and speak to all that are here. To those who are still out of Christ, Lord, speak to them. And may they come to know the Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen. A valedictory service is a sending forth service. And we are sending off our students to the next term of study at the Whitfield College of the Bible. It's a farewell to those who are going to study to show themselves approved unto God. It is indeed a blessing for any church to have young men called into the ministry. It's a sign of a healthy, prosperous church where God deals with individuals. He meets them in the Word, and he calls and commissions them for service. When God first converts a precious soul to himself, that's a wonderful thing. And then he begins to burden that individual, and then he calls them into the work. Personally, I think it would be a sad day when the Lord stops doing these things among us. He is pleased to raise up workers in the local church, Sunday school teachers, children's workers, leaders for the youth ministry, the outreach work, musicians to lead us in song, singers at various services, the choirs, the groups, the soloists, teachers in our Christian school, men for the home mission, and others to work and to organize and administer the various departments of church life. So we are blessed indeed. We thank God for every elder, every deacon, every worker, every leader. There are so many who employ their God-given talents and gifts for the honor of Christ and his kingdom in this house. And then he calls ministers and missionaries from the ranks of this congregation to go a little further. And I include those that have gone on the short missionary trips from time to time, who are burdened for the work of God, who have a vision for the Lord's service, who have sacrificed their time, their money, their talents for the love of the gospel. And then we have others who have been raised up as helpmeets to pastors and to missionaries. Fred Buick went into the ministry in 1973, and 5 years later, he emigrated to Australia, where he still is. John Hanna went to Spain in 1977. Our sister Pat Mills served the Lord in the city of Cork for 4.5 years before going to work with the Toronto Jewish Mission in 1989. After serving as a teacher in her Christian school, Noreen McAfee went to Kenya in the year 2000. And I think that we can put Anne McCauley, Janice Buick, Joy McCauley into the mix as well, who have served the Lord in special ways. Dr. Cairns, in a sense, went out from this congregation. He was the minister here, but he went out from Ballymoney to Greenville in 1980. We have our missionary council representatives. We have the teachers of our Christian school. In recent years, Armin Tomassian and Josh Moffat have been sent out as ministers from this congregation. Alejandro Bernabeu has finished his course and he will be going to Spain next month. Greg Gibson is beginning his course and Jonathan Story and David McCauley are continuing. Here indeed is the stamp of God's approval upon the witness of this congregation, and we pray that it will be multiplied over and over again. Tonight we are sending Jonathan, David, and Greg to the Whitfield College with the blessing of this congregation, with the support and the prayers of this church, with the approval and the recommendation of the oversight here, and with the joy and the endorsement of this pastor. It's times like this I feel like the beloved John, when he said that he had no greater joy than to hear that his children walked in truth. And when we hear about the young people walking in truth and seeking to serve the Lord, and those that are raised up from the church going into God's work, it is something that delights our hearts. Perhaps there was no greater preacher, minister, missionary, theologian, teacher, and church worker ever raised by God in New Testament times than the man that we know of as the great Apostle Paul. He championed the cause of Christ among Jews and Gentiles, at home and abroad, among all classes and ranks of people. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He had a remarkable conversion, as you know, on the road to Damascus. He received a divine call. In fact, from day one, he was specially set aside by the Lord for the work of the ministry. He had a special commission. He was set apart by the church and by the Holy Ghost for the work of missionary service, and he went on 3 missionary journeys. He became a mighty soul winner, a giant of a missionary, a church planter, a kind of moderator, for he had the care of all the churches, a beloved colleague in the ministry to so many, an amazing example to look up to, a distinguished theologian, a leader, a mentor, a father figure, and so the list goes on if we were to write down the CV for the great apostle. God used him to write over half of the New Testament, and we know that this man, in his service for the Lord, suffered much. Now, we will not attain unto the excellence of the great apostle Paul. I personally learned a long time ago my station. I'm one of God's little people helping here and there, but I'm glad to do that. And I don't want to disillusion our students, but it's unlikely that they will attain to the heights of Dr. Paul, this great theologian. I do pray that God will be pleased to bring them to much spiritual success and gospel work, if we can call it that, that they will fulfill the greatest potential of their God-given gifts. May God make you, or the three of you, mighty preachers and expositors of the Word, gifted evangelists and soul winners, men who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, champions for divine truth, defenders of the glorious gospel and Christ, who is the center of that gospel, men of passion and vision, walking with God every day with a burdened heart and contrite spirit, preachers who love the Lord with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength, preachers who love the brethren, preachers who love the souls of men, who love the work of God. May the Lord make you students of the book, prayer warriors, powerful preachers who labor in the light of the great eternity of God. Now, though we may never be so great and well known and as used as Paul, yet the office and the work to which we are called is the same. And the qualifications and the marks of a good minister are the same. And from this passage of Scripture, I just want to say three things tonight about these young men particularly, and we have them here in the life of the apostle. First of all, these men are converted men. You think of what we've read here tonight by way of testimony. Paul speaks in verse 13 as being in his past life before conversion a blasphemer, a persecutor, one who was injurious. He speaks about how he obtained mercy, and he speaks about the grace of God and how Christ came into this world to save sinners, and he puts himself in there as the chief of sinners. It is a sad trend in most main denominations today that unconverted men have entered into the ministry and they stand in pulpits. They are, as the Lord Jesus described, blind leaders of the blind. And this is nothing new. The Jewish church in the time of Christ had deteriorated into such decay and departure that the ministers of that day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, were unregenerated men. Men without a true message. Men without God's salvation. They did not know the Lord themselves. They were blind, they were ignorant, undiscerning men who walked in spiritual darkness. Now, undoubtedly, there were a number who knew the Scriptures, who were waiting for the consolation of Israel, the promised Messiah, who wandered after Christ in a very positive way. I think we can say that this was so of Nicodemus and his friends that we read about in John chapter 3. I believe that Nicodemus was a very conscientious man and a man who knew the Word and a man who was really looking for the Messiah coming. And you remember that night when he came to the Lord, he said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God. We know," we think he's putting himself there into the plural with other Pharisees who had realized that there was something unique and special, outstanding, different about the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the rich young ruler, a religious man who inquired after eternal life? And even though he walked away on that occasion without eternal life, there was still that conscientious seeking after Christ on that occasion. But the vast majority of the clergy in those days knew not the Lord, and they dwelt in spiritual darkness. They knew how to make long prayers, which they often did in God's house or on the corners of the street. They knew how to boast in their religious attainments. They knew how to tithe their money. They knew how to make proselytes. They knew how to observe the Sabbath day, at least according to their traditions. And they walked after the tradition of their fathers. But they were not saved men. They did not recognize the Lord Jesus as the Savior when he came. They were obstinately blind to what they saw and heard. And they tempted Christ. They criticized him. They found fault with him. They took counsel against him to destroy him and his followers. They were among the number that arrested Christ and dragged him before Caiaphas and then Pilate. And they persuaded the people to cry away with him, crucify him. They lent their voices and their support to put Jesus to death. And in this ministry, Jesus called them hypocrites, a generation of vipers. He said that their inward part was full of ravening and wickedness. See, my friends, men need to be converted if they are to serve the Lord. They need to be soundly saved by God's grace with a good testimony that matches up to their profession. And so before a man can enter into the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church, he must possess a credible testimony. And he will be asked to give that testimony at different levels. He'll be asked to do it in the local church. He certainly will be asked to do it with the elders as they come for an interview before entering college. They will meet with the Presbytery Commission. They will give their testimony there. They will eventually, if they're successful there, go to Presbytery and give their testimony in brief. And when they come, if they make it to ordination and installation, they will come to that special night in their life where again they will be called upon to speak about these things and to give their testimony. We are sending men to Bible college who know Christ, who are saved by grace, who possess the certainty of a work of divine grace in their lives. They can speak about the day when they met the Lord just like the Apostle Paul could. Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, speaks about the time when he was without Christ, in those days of unregeneracy, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. We have the history to tell us of his past, not just here, but in other places. And then Paul declares, "But I obtain mercy." He recalls the day when God stepped into his life, when he met Christ. Oh, the mercy of God in Christ. What a blessed experience. What a joy to speak about. What a wonderful thing to receive and be certain about. Such a man comes to a day in his experience when he cries out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he obtains the mercy of God. Mercy is love that responds to need in an unexpected and unmerited way. And at the very core, mercy is forgiveness. In the highest and the most spiritual sense, it is God's love for poor, fallen, miserable creatures. It is God's pity, compassion, and kindness towards us. Jonathan Edwards said, "God is pleased to show mercy to his enemies according to his own sovereign pleasure. Though he is infinitely above all and stands in no need of creatures, yet he is graciously pleased to take a merciful notice of poor worms in the dust." Mercy is God's love and patience in action. It is God extending forgiveness to those who deserve to be punished. And he does this for the sake of Christ, on the basis of Christ's redemptive work. When the publican cried out in the temple, "The man that Jesus spoke about, God, be merciful to me, the sinner," he used the word propitious, the turning away of God's wrath, by the means of an atoning sacrifice. And this is showing us the depths of the mercy of God, because that's what God does for the sake of Christ and his great work at Calvary's cross. God turns away his wrath that we deserved. That's mercy. Paul had obtained mercy. He found forgiveness. It was the first quality that made him fit for the ministry. And our students have been made fit for the ministry because they've found mercy in the sight of God. These young men were glad to be able to say tonight are soundly saved. They're in Christ. They're converted. But they're also called. In our text, in this passage of Scripture, in the 12th verse, the apostle says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. It was the Lord that called Paul to the work of the ministry. It was God himself who called him to be a preacher of the gospel. Paul was entrusted with the gospel because Jesus himself enabled him. It was Jesus Christ who put Paul into the ministry. And this is undoubtedly a privilege above all privileges, an honor of honors, a blessing among blessings. Jesus Christ, says the apostle, put me into the ministry. It was a divine appointment. It was a sovereign action. It's an honor to be a minister of Jesus Christ, a preacher of the gospel, one who is sent by God into the ministry of the word. But lest any should misunderstand this calling and what is really entailed, it might be good to point out that the ministry is a place of hard work. Our students, I hope, know that. They certainly will find it out. It's a place where they will have to work diligently for the Lord. You see the word translated ministry here, it simply means service. And in the original language of the New Testament, there is nothing high or lofty about this word. It just means to work hard and to serve. And in this case of gospel ministry, to labor with great zeal and enthusiasm and diligence, hard labor for Christ, our Redeemer. Paul was put into the ministry. I like this passage of Scripture because I stand here personally before you tonight for the same reason. My blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who showed me his love and his mercy to me, a guilty, poor, hell-deserving sinner as I was, and yet he put me into the ministry. You see, this verse 12 together with verse 7 of the next chapter, it's peculiar to my call, where we have here the words of the apostle as he speaks about his own experience in verse 12, how God put him into the ministry. And in the next chapter in verse 7, how that he was ordained to be a preacher. You see, originally when I felt the call of God in my life, I knew that God had called me. I knew that God wanted me to serve him in some way. But I didn't think at that stage it was the ministry. In fact, I applied to the college for the 2-year course and was accepted. And I had some idea in my mind, maybe I'll be like our brother Noel Stevenson. We had a great burden in those days in Portadown to reach the young people with the gospel. I was asked at the interview to pray about the future and to pray about doing the theological course. And I did. For a number of weeks I prayed, but I had no leading during that period of time. And so I stopped praying. I just felt at that moment content. The 2 years is for me. And then I went to the 30th anniversary of the Free Presbyterian Church. And if my memory is right back those 40 years ago nearly, it was in the Park Avenue Hotel. And Cecil Harvey, I think, was sitting, I think we saw a glimpse of that in the wee video that we watched today that took us back many years. And he was sitting on the platform that night. And for some reason, I began to pray earnestly again about my future in the ministry. And it was then that the Lord began to deal with me through this passage of Scripture. how that God put Paul into the ministry and how that he was ordained as a preacher. And I knew that the 2 years would not be sufficient. If I was going to be put into the ministry, if I was going to be ordained as a preacher, then I would need to do the 4 years, which I did. Now, these young men going into college to train at the Whitfield, Jonathan, David, and Greg, they are also convinced in their hearts that God has called them. God has ordained them to go forth and prepare for the ministry to which they are called. And after their training, all this will be realized as the Lord opened doors for them. And we pray that God will call others. We certainly need more ministers of the gospel and missionaries of the cross in these days. We think of our empty pulpits, and we think of the great need in the mission field. We think of all those vacancies right here in Northern Ireland and in other places. And we think of missionaries that are having to retire home and come home for various reasons. There's a great need. I wonder tonight in this service, as you have come, is God speaking to your heart? Has he been dealing with you over the past little while? What about you tonight? Will you go? Will you prepare your life for the future? Will you train? Will you go to college? You have obtained mercy. God has forgiven you. He has pardoned you for all your sin. And you have been taken off the broad road that leads to destruction. You've been put onto the narrow road by an action of infinite mercy. You can say tonight, as Paul says, as these young men can say, I obtained mercy. Yes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And maybe some of you even feel, as Paul did, of whom I am chief. We think of Paul saying about being a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. Maybe you feel like that tonight. You've committed in your past, before your conversion, so many sins against God and man. But God showed you mercy. He rescued you from the horrible pit in the miry clay. Will you go and tell others about Jesus, the mighty deceiver? Do you sense the call of God in your life? So just like Paul, the great apostle, these young men going to Bible college, they're converted, they're called, and of one final little thought, they have a central message, and that message is about Christ. And I think it's really summarized in the testimony part that Paul is giving in verse 15, where he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Giving his testimony here, Paul makes this amazing statement. For this declaration of Paul was the center of his preaching throughout his entire ministry, witnessing to high and to low, to men of all backgrounds. The message never changed in the apostle's life. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And men need to be brought to see themselves as sinners before they can feel and sense in their heart their need of salvation. Christ alone is the Savior of man. There's no other way. Sinners can only be saved, pardoned from sin, delivered from hell through the one who came into the world to save sinners. And this Jesus Christ accomplished in his sacrificial death upon the cross of Calvary. I remind our students tonight, as they go back to college, as Greg goes for his first year to prepare for the ministry, that they have only one central message to proclaim. And that message is about a Savior from all sin. And I say to you tonight to make Christ the center of your preaching, especially in the great work that he came to do. Never forget in all your preaching to preach Christ and him crucified, to uplift a dying Savior, to exalt the cross of suffering on which he died. If you feel here, you feel in everything. And so I exhort you, I implore you to make Christ the center of your preaching. Is there someone here tonight and you're unconverted? Come to this meeting. We thank you for coming. It's a special night for our students as they go to college. It's a special night for the congregation as we send them forth with our blessing. We covenant before God to pray for them. And you have come to this special night, but you're not saved. You're without Christ. You have not got to the first point. You're not converted. I want to remind you that the way of the cross leads home. I want just to emphasize this text in your ear and in your heart tonight as you leave. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he can save you tonight by his matchless grace. Will you come to him? Will you seek him and trust in him? And I pray that you will, for Jesus' sake. It has been our custom to pray with young men going into Bible college. We want to do that tonight. We want the elders to come to the front and the young men as well, just keeping a little bit of distance. A good thing to do. If you can come up now, we'll, in the closing prayer, remember them, pray for them, take them upon our hearts. The elders. If you're from the same family, you can stand together. They don't mind that. Young men, love the Lord, serve the Lord, preach Christ, preach him crucified, uplift the dying Savior before the world. That will be the greatest task that will ever be committed to you. And stand for him in the gospel. Trust the Lord will bless you as you prepare for the Christian ministry. And we'll ask, just as the Lord leads our elders, maybe two of them, to have a wee word of prayer, to step forward to one of the microphones and to pray. Thank you.
Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for even the meeting tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for this service that sends these dear brothers in Christ out to do a service for Thee.
Amen.
We thank You, Lord, for what unites them. Lord, they're very different and lots of different ways, their personality, even their appearance, but Lord, we thank you that they're all saved men.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you that you've called them. And Lord, we thank you for that central message, Lord, that you've given them to proclaim. No, Lord, we pray that you'll take them even and use them. We thank you, Lord, for David. We thank you for Johnny. And oh Lord, we thank you for Greg as well. We thank you, Lord, for how you reached down and you saved each one of them, and you've called them. We pray for their families, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you'll bless them at this time. Oh, Lord, give them help in their studies, that, Lord, they will study to show themselves approved unto God. We pray, Lord, that you'll take them up and use them. Make them vessels unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use. We pray this all in thy precious and lovely name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy presence at the end of this service, we thank thee for all that has taken place tonight. We thank thee most of all, Lord, for thy precious word that has been preached forth to us. No, Lord, we just give thee thanks for these three young men. We thank thee, Lord, for Johnny. We thank thee for David. We thank thee for Greg. We thank you, Lord, for the day that you saved them. Lord, brought them unto thyself. No, Lord, we thank thee for the day that thou didst call them to serve thee. No, Lord, we just pray that as they continue their studies and as Greg begins his studies in Bible college, that thou wilt bless them. O Lord, that you'll instruct them in the things of God. And most of all, Lord, we pray that you'll give them a mighty infilling of the Spirit of God and that you'll use them mightily for thee. O Lord, bless them as they study. Bless them, Lord, as they would seek to witness on a weekly basis around our churches. And, O Lord, we pray that when they complete their studies, O Lord, that you'll call them into thy work again, Lord, and you pray, Lord, that they will use them mightily to the salvation of many souls. Remember Alex as well, Lord. We thank thee that he has graduated or will be graduating even tomorrow night. We pray, Lord, that you will bless him and Vanessa and the plans that they have to serve thee in Spain. So, Lord, continue with us now, we pray, for we ask it for thy name's sake. Amen. Amen.
So you pray as the congregation for these young men. I know that two of the elders are fathers of these young men, and that's a personal joy in their heart to see their sons in the ministry. We won't shake your hands tonight, but we do wish you well. Sorry there's no supper for you. We're really quite hospitable here in Ballymoney, but under the circumstances of COVID-19, we can't do that. You will be told how to leave safely row by row, so the stewards will get you exited smoothly. Thank you. God bless you, brother. Okay.